Hi.
Are you there?
Yeah, I moved to the other computer. That computer was just crashing. It was just crazy. First the Word crashed and then the Skype crashed. So I said, forget it. So I just moved to the other computer, which luckily was on. Okay.
Okay. I'm gonna mute myself too.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Jody's not on. Oh, gosh. What a balagan. Ah, here she is. Great. Okay. Sorry, Jody. My computer was just crashing, so I just moved to the other computer. Okay, I think she's there. All right, so here we are. So last time we looked at this midrash, in which basically the sages are looking at the creation of man and really asking a deep question. I mean, they put it in this sort of beautiful imagery way of God consulting the angels, but what they're really saying is how is man going to function? How is man going to get once more, please? What does that mean? Call her again? Oh dear, Jody's disappeared yet again. Oh, it's called Jody again. That's there. Okay, you there?
I think so.
I hope so. Great. Oh, well, let's hope for it. Okay,
Can
so.
go
Okay.
ahead.
Okay, so we looked at the Midrash last time, and the Midrash tells the story of God consulting the angels. But what is this Midrash really about? I mean, that's what's important. The Midrash is really about the idea of how is man going to come to his ultimate purpose? And in order to understand that midrash, we first of all have to decide what is the purpose for which man was created. And the purpose for which man was created was actually to convert the dark side of creation, to convert the will to receive for itself alone, the framework of uncleanness into the framework of goodness and bring it all in. Because what's happened was that as we've learnt, when the Tzimtzum happened, the vessel which is able to give back the light for the sake of giving, is able to stay in Dvekut, becomes the framework of holiness. And that part of the vessel which is not being used in that way, is just empty of light. And that empty of light eventually becomes the source for the will to receive for itself alone. And if we were to leave the framework of holiness as it is, and the framework of evil as it is, that would not ultimately fulfill the purpose of creation. Because the purpose of creation was on 100%, that God wants to give 100% of all the good and all the light to his created beings. It wasn't on a fraction. It wasn't on a bit, it was on the whole thing. And therefore, to fulfill the purpose of creation, the whole of the vessels all have to come into the goodness. Now, in the framework of holiness, you have everything. You have all the angels and all the beings and all the spiritual beings and everything. And all the souls. And you have on the framework of uncleanness, you have all the elements which make up the framework of uncleanness, all the spiritual elements also. But unless you've got one being which actually combines both of these elements within him, they're just going to stay through two separate pathways. Because the correction to bring one into the holiness has got to be a connection between the uncleanness and the holiness. There's got to be a connection between those two frameworks. And so, therefore, the purpose for which man was created was, in fact, to have within him both elements. All right? And then to bring him, to be able to encourage him, to get him to transform them and bring them into the framework of holiness. So, he's got to have the framework of uncleanness and be able to bring that into the framework of holiness. And God assigned, if you like, four main angels, four main characteristics, four main level ways of being that will help man come to his fulfillment. And that is loving kindness, which is chesed, truth, tzedaka, and shalom, peace. Now, the way man is originally created in the Garden of Eden was without the framework of evil. He was only created with a framework of goodness, basically, the framework of holiness. And truth said, you know, like this, it's not going to work. If he doesn't have that framework of uncleanness, which is going to be able to be transformed, he's not going to be able to fulfill the purpose of which he's creating. And you know, what are you going to bother for? Whereas loving kindness, who in any case belongs to the framework of holiness, says no problem. Tzedakah also belongs to the framework of holiness, although in a slightly different way, and also says no problem. But truth and shalom, who need that correction for the framework of uncleanness to come into the framework of holiness, say, like this, we can't do our work. So what is this whole midrash is actually about the way man was first created and whether in that way he's going to be able to fulfill the purpose for which he was created, which was to transform from the framework of evil into the framework of holiness. And truth says it's not going to work this way. So what happens then is that truth was cast down to the ground. Okay. And now you have the situation in the Garden of Eden, that man is in the Garden of Eden. And the sages tell us that man was born circumcised. In other words, he was only connecting with the framework of holiness. Okay. And he didn't actually have a real vessel for the framework of uncleanness. And so therefore, God organized the whole situation to arise in which he would eat from the framework of evil, he would eat from the tree of knowledge, and thus attain the vessel that he actually needs to have in order to do the work to bring that vessel into holiness. Does that make sense?
Yes. I find it interesting that the importance of the tree of knowledge. What else is the tree of knowledge symbolic for? Used as a metaphor, because that's sort of the link between holiness and unholiness, isn't it?
I think it is, because
I mean, it's logical.
The tree of knowledge,
and the metaphor of a tree that goes down to the earth and then shoots way up to the sky and gives off that which we need to live. You know, we can't live without the tree of knowledge, or without trees.
And it's very, very interesting that you mention the tree of knowledge, because I actually learnt in the Sefer HaZohar the issue of the tree of knowledge, that in fact, I mean, he asks in the Zohar, did anybody use the tree of knowledge? Can I, you know, what is the purpose of the tree of knowledge?
All of a sudden. Sorry.
Yeah, and it does say that, you know, Avraham and Yitzchak, I think, you know, they looked into the tree of knowledge and they were able to use the tree of knowledge in a positive way, because they were had corrected the whole of their being into the way of holiness. And then, of course, the tree of knowledge wasn't actually a danger for them. I've just got the Zohar by chance. I've got the volume here. I'm just trying to see if I can find that piece, because I remember it being absolutely fascinating that it says that the tree of knowledge was in fact used and does have, you know, its value not only from the perspective of uncleanness, but also when a person has actually corrected all his aspects of receiving for himself alone and he's completely in holiness, then it is a source of knowledge, a source of wisdom in the world, which brings, you know, a goodness to the world.
Isn't that interesting?
Oh, yeah.
What a tragedy just uncovered here.
Yeah, I'm just trying to see if I can find the actual words, because I was just blown away by them. Where are we now? Not a set are done. Let's see if it's there. Where are we? If I don't see it quickly, I'll just have to just tell you what I remember. But that was to me just amazing, and that was absolutely like amazing to me that the tree of knowledge is actually such a can be seen as something so positive.
Really is it's almost the missing link, sort of, because once you've attained, you know, what you read right before, which I wouldn't mind if you repeated, but wasn't it once you've reached the aspect of holiness, then you can acquire the goods or the, you can use the, whatever even that symbolically means. You have access to the tree of knowledge. So, I mean, this is very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's, you know, it's amazing.
And just even that it's a tree. Why a tree? Why can't it be the stone of knowledge or a tree, the river of knowledge. I mean, I think that's really profound.
I think exactly what you say. A tree, the tree is the spiritual root of something that like gives shelter, gives fruit, gives life, it's such a life-giving symbol, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah, I mean, plants are the basis of all life on earth.
And remember, a tree, it's pretty unconditional. You know, it doesn't say, okay, do this, do that. It doesn't negotiate with anyone. It just grows and gives off, you know, basically goodness.
It's just good. A tree is just good. There's no way that a tree is bad. I mean, it's just incredible. It gives shelter. I mean, even a tree that's not a fruit tree is a tree that gives shelter and it gives shade and gives a place for the birds to sit on and make their nests and things. So a tree, it brings oxygen into the atmosphere. It's just amazing what trees do. They clean the world from the carbon dioxide. It's just amazing. And here, the tree of knowledge was, in fact, a fruit tree. So it's not only that, it's also a tree which provides bounty. So the tree of knowledge, when you look about the tree of knowledge, in its essence, Eve was right. When she saw it, and at the beginning she said, no, I'm not allowed to touch it. And then when she actually saw its true essence, that if they were to correct everything for the sake of giving, it was actually a wonderful part of God's creation. She was actually right in what she saw. The only problem was that she couldn't do the whole of the correction in one go, and that's what happened, as we're going to see. And I think this is just an amazing idea. So, yeah. So, yeah. I can't remember what I was going to say now. Where were we? So what we have is that man, what we learned last week is that man as he was originally in the tree of knowledge did not have the full complement of the framework of evil that he actually needs in order to do the tikkun. And therefore that had to come about through the sin of the tree of knowledge. Now, I think what we could do now is actually move on to paragraph 14. I can't remember if I sent you the material or not. Let me just check. I don't think I did. I can send it to you now, hopefully. I hope it's on my Dropbox. Adam in the Garden of Eden. It's called. Where is it? If I didn't send it to you, I'll send it to you now. I'm not sure I did. If I didn't, I know it's coming as I can always, I know where it is on my other computer. Such a nuisance this, having to switch computers like this. Did I send you Adam in the Garden of Eden? I don't think I did.
I think it was last week.
I did? That was good.
The title.
Yeah. That's good. Mia, did I send it to you? Have you got it? Otherwise, if not, I'll just nip downstairs and just send it from my other computer.
I think so, but I'm hesitating to scroll because I don't want my computer to crash.
Oh, gosh, have you got the same thing? I know this.
Sometimes it happens, yes.
It's just terrible. Yeah, I think I sent it last week.
You know, I think it is.
Okay, so don't scroll anything. Let me see. Yes, it is. I see that. So I can download it myself now. Right. And then I can send it to you. There we go. All right. I can just forward on to you. Can I forward on to, if I forward on to you, would that work?
Sure. I'll send it to email, whichever you want.
Yes, it does work.
Okay. So if I just forward that on to you. Okay. I found the email. So, okay, let's do that. So let's do forward. There you go. To.
Oh my goodness. Crazy what? Day.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, send. There you go. It's on its way. Okay, you should have got it. It's on its way anyhow. All right. So while it's coming, I'll just start looking at the Hebrew. And it's paragraph 14. Did you get it? I heard something go plink.
I'm just gonna listen so I don't lose you.
All right, not to worry then.
I didn't receive it either, so the internet is just being weird today.
It is being so weird. I told you my thing crashed, but I did send it. It is the one I sent last week, Jody. So if you want to find it,
just tell me the title and I'll be able to find it that way.
Adam in the Garden of Eden. Okay. I'll send it again at the end of class. Paragraph 14. And now we found the doorway to our midrash that we looked at earlier regarding these four classes of angels, loving kindness and righteousness, truth and peace, who negotiated with God in the creation of man. For the angels are the ministering angels which minister to the soul of man. And therefore, God negotiated with them, since the whole of the creation was created according to their consciousness, as the sages have said. Now we know that every single soul includes within it both the inner light and the surrounding light. The loving kindness belongs to the inner light of the first nine spheres of the soul. Tzedakah belongs to the inner light of the malchut of the soul. Truth belongs to the surrounding light of the soul. And we have already spoken that the inner light and the surrounding light are complete opposites, since the inner light is drawn from the illumination of the light of the framework of holiness, in which that point of the Tzimtzum, on which the point of Tzimtzum happened, doesn't appear, because that is the huge form of receiving. Whereas the surrounding light is drawn from the whole of the light of the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, which surrounds all the worlds. And there, in the Ein Sof, everything is equal, both big and small. And therefore, the surrounding light shines and gives goodness also to that point which was contracted, to that big will to receive. Also to the aspect of the Malchut. So this opening me, the inner light, only gives light to the framework of holiness, but the surrounding light gives light to everywhere. Now, we said that truth and Stocker belong to the inner light, so they didn't mind the way man was created in the beginning, but truth and peace belong to the surrounding light, and they are saying that man was not created in a way that they could actually help. These two lights are opposites, and therefore they need two different types of vessels. The Or Pnimi, the inner light, shines in the first nine sfirot, but it doesn't shine on the Malchut itself. Whereas the Or Mekif shines in those vessels, shines on those vessels, which come from the part of the vessel which was contracted specifically, and which is called an external vessel. And now he goes on to say, now you can understand why truth was designated as a seal, because this is an idea which is borrowed from the seal which comes on the edges of a letter or a signature, but it actually establishes them and fulfills them. Because if it weren't for the signature, the letter wouldn't have any value, and everything that had been written would be futile. And likewise, the surrounding light, which gives goodness to the point of the Tzimtzum, which is the issue of the greatness of receiving, until it's able to make its form equivalent to its creation, in the inner meaning of giving, as we've said, which is the purpose of all the worlds, the higher ones and the lower ones, the higher, limited higher ones and the lower ones. That is to say, the protest of truth in the creation of man, who maintained that all of it is lies, since from the side of his creation of the Holy Blessed One, man does not have an external vessel, which needs to be drawn from the point of the Tzimtzum, because that has already separated from God's light, as we said. And therefore, it is impossible for the angels of truth to be of use to man in attaining the surrounding light, or because he doesn't have a vessel for it. And since all the higher worlds and the lower worlds were only created for this fulfillment, which man needs to have to be the bearer of, and since man is not fitting for his purpose, therefore truth maintains that this is chaos and lies, and on the whole a labor in all of this is of no point. Whereas the angels of loving kindness and truth, who specifically belong to the inner light of the soul, on the contrary, because of this, And they, since they, the man doesn't have at all an aspect of the framework of evil, nevertheless, they can give to him all their lights of the soul in great amplitude, with the most beautiful perfection. Therefore, they're quite happy to be of use to him, and they agree with all their might on the creation of man. The angels of peace, who maintain that it is entirely one big argument, say that because he does not receive the surrounding light, and therefore he cannot come together with the inner light, and they remain opposed to each other, and therefore he says he's just one big argument. In paragraph 15, it goes on to say, and from what we've said, we can now understand the verses in the Torah which talk about the sin of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which have tremendous depth to them, and the sages who revealed in them one handbreadth covered with their words 10 handbreadths. And before the whole story begins, it's the scripture says, and man and his wife were both of them naked, and they were not ashamed. And you should know that the issue of a garment is actually refers to the external vessel. As in other words, they did not have an external vessel for the external light, for the surrounding light, and therefore they weren't able to receive the surrounding light. And therefore the scripture first tells us the reason for the sin of the tree of knowledge, and that in that the sages said on the verse, the awesome one caused it on the human beings. In other words, that God caused this whole affair to happen. That the sin was prepared to him from the beginning. And this is the measure of the scripture, that man and his wife, from the side of their creation, were without this external vessel. They only had the aspects of the inner vessels which were drawn from the framework of holiness. And therefore, they were not ashamed. They didn't feel any lack. Because shame means comes from the feeling of lack. And we know that the feeling of lack is the first cause to fulfilling a lack. In the way that somebody who feels ill is prepared to go and get medicine. But somebody who doesn't feel ill is not prepared at all to go and get medicine. And therefore, this feeling of lack, which is laid upon the external vessel, which is needs to be in the building and the structure of the body, which is empty of light, because it comes from the halal panoi, which is empty of light, is what actually gives birth to that feeling of emptiness and lack and causes a person to feel shame. And therefore, he needs to go back and try to fill up that lack, to draw the surrounding light which he's lacking, which he wants to go and fill up this vessel. And this is the inner meaning of the scripture, that man and his wife were both naked. They were naked of an external vessel, and therefore they weren't ashamed. They didn't feel any lack, and therefore they were negated from actually fulfilling the purpose for which they were created. However, we need to truly understand the eminence of this man, who is the precious handwork of the Holy Blessed One and his wife, who the Holy Blessed One had apportioned her even greater bina, even greater understanding than given to man. When the sages said, in understanding the scripture, and God built the rib, built her from a rib. And how could these high beings have stumbled and acted like fools who did not know how to be wary of the craftiness of the snake. On the other hand, it's this snake who scripture tells us that he was naked from all the animals of the field. How could he bring out from his lips such foolishness and emptiness like this, that if they were to eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge, that they would become like God? How could such foolishness have found a nest in their heart? And not only that, that further on it says that they didn't eat from the tree of knowledge, they didn't eat from the tree of knowledge in order, because they desperately desired to do God's will, but simply because the fruit of the tree was good to eat, which seems on the surface to be simply like an animal appetite. Okay, so here it seems to be saying that it seems to show all the reasons why this whole thing looks so strange. You know, how could they have acted like such fools, such idiots? But of course, we're going to find out that it wasn't quite like that. Mia, you're the last one left on the call today. Jody has gone. She said thank you, and she's left. So just you and me.
Well, do you want to take a few minutes to catch up on your business stuff?
I think I do, yes, because I've been thinking about things.
Okay, I'm here by myself today, so we don't have to stop at the stroke of noon, for me. So, and yes, this will be good.
All right, thanks. That's good for me too.
All right.
All right, 1 second. You know what? I'll just stop the recording. What does that say?